It's going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Derrick Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun. Woo! Woo!
Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Back in the cornerback, it's just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football! Let's play some football!
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourselves on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. That's Joe Gaither, the brand manager of Tide 100.9. Mason Woods, Will, Cade, I think Nathan's still back there too. Look at me remembering all these interns' names.
Wait.
We're all going to have some fun here on Off the Edge in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk with Joey Blackwell, the beat writer from Bama Central, the Sports Illustrated affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
A real journalist.
Which is funny for you to say that, because where we're going to start today, we're going to talk about games, but not necessarily the traditional games that we may think, right? Not football, not basketball, not baseball. We'll talk about some of those things with Joey here in a little bit. If you watched Squid Games at the height of its popularity, and you should have, you didn't watch it. Mason didn't watch it.
Still have not watched it.
Joe, did you watch it?
Yes.
Mason, how in the hell did you not watch this show? We can go out into the parking lot and fight.
It was one of those things where, like, I'm not a big fan of reading subtitles, first off. It annoys me. I'd rather just watch something in English.
You're now Gen Z, not a millennial. I have to demote you.
That's fine.
You don't know subtitles when you watch?
No.
What?
Why would I read while I watch something? That's the whole point of watching something, so I don't have to read. Defeats the entire purpose.
Give yourself the loser game show sound. No, man. Come on.
Yeah. No.
You just casually watch TV with subtitles? What are you, some kind of heathen?
Everything I watch that is not live.
Problematic.
Has
downright
subtitles.
Problematic.
It's not problematic.
It takes away from the experience of watching it.
You've heard the kind of music I listen to. My hearing is not as good as it used to be. Kids screaming all throughout the house too. You know, it helps.
Okay, subtitles help. Let me ask you. So what you're watching a TV show, you're consuming a movie, whatever it is. You're just eyes glued to the bottom of the screen the whole time.
Pretty much.
No idea what's going on in the movie.
No, you do.
Jacob.
Especially if
you can't give looks on the radio, Mason.
Especially if the content is all in Japanese,
Korean.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing though. And this is where you're falling off is because Squid Games is one of the shows where you should not do that. Because if you've ever watched anything that's dubbed, the subtitles don't match up with what the English speaking actors say. So you turn the subtitles off actually and just have it English dubbed and just try not to watch their mouths while they're talking.
Isn't the dub like terrible though?
Yeah.
No, it's not that bad.
I watch it in Korean with the subtitles.
Every time I've ever heard anyone speak of any English dub, it's never received well.
Well, I would rather hear the English speaking, not have the subtitles, and just not pay attention to their mouths while they're talking. If you would rather hear the Korean voice and read subtitles, that's fine too.
It's I'd understandable. Rather just not watch it.
You should watch it. You should watch it. Even a year later, you should watch it. Here's the thing. Why am I bringing up Squid Games? Like, it's past its peak of popularity, right? Even though we just heard a couple days ago that they're going to have a season two of this thing. That's all well and good. But I ain't winning $4.5 million off of season two of Squid Games. What any one person out of 456 people that could be selected could win $4.5 million is Squid Game The Challenge, which is going to be as real as possible. To the point of the show, obviously nobody's going to die. If you don't know what Squid Games is, it's where adults...
Are you sure?
You know...
Yeah, we hope.
You know, I guess you're not going to play the glass pane game, you know, the second to last game, because pretty easy to fall to your death there. I guess you're not going to play tug of rope, you know, suspended 30 feet in the air.
I mean, here's the thing. They say you're not going to die.
This is a Netflix production. I mean, trust them a little bit?
Yeah, can they really guarantee that no one's going to die?
456 people in a small area? Like, somebody's going to suffocate, right? Here's what I want.
I just wouldn't trust them based off the way Squid Games was presented anyways.
True. Well, one of the big arguments about this whole thing is how, you know, Squid Games is kind of like a... This is what happens when people are so poor. They get this desperate that they're willing to risk it all just to be rich. I'm halfway in between a joke and honestly just filling it out just to see what happens and filling out the casting application for this show and see, hey, they got to pick 456 people. You never know. So one of the questions that is on this is basically, you know, to make a video of yourself, how would you play the game? Since Mason didn't watch it, I'll get to him in a minute. He can think about it. Joe, how would you play the game of Squid Games, playing all these childhood games and trying to eliminate 455 other people to win $4.5 million?
As far as, I mean, I would try to play it as well as I could. Red light, green light, stop, pay attention, listen to the instructions.
But like, would you be a little underhanded?
Of course.
Would you cheat a little bit? You'd be like the dude with the snake tattoo and...
I mean, you got to get some alliances, I think, if you can. But you got to understand that the only person you can trust is yourself. So, I mean, they all get on the teams for the tug of war, this, that, and the other. But no, I mean, we're all fighting for $4.5 million. No one in that 400 people is on your side. No one.
There you go.
And so, you got to look out for yourself. Number one. What is it? Nelly, I am number one. So I like the team setting in a lot of team sports, but let's be real with each other. If we're all competing, like there's six of us right here. And if we're all competing for $600, but one person can win it, I'm not trusting you or Mason or Will or, you know, now I'm going to do the best I can, but like if it's a race, I'm fully expecting Will Miller to kick me in the knee, and I'm going to be looking out for that. And so I'm going to be trying. You know, if he kicks me in the knee, here comes an elbow.
Joe Gaither, not a fan of NASCAR, apparently.
No, I honestly, I do not like, because, oh, you have, and it's the same thing in Formula One. Like, oh, I'm faster than you. You need to let me by. Screw that. You need to get around me. And if we're trading paint so you can get around me and I'm shoving your butt in the wall, like, yeah, I'm not a big, you know, NASCAR guy.
Rubbin's racing.
Exactly. I don't grasp that concept of, oh, this car's faster than me. I need to be courteous and let it by.
I think Joe would probably win at this. But I mean, the guy that eventually wins the game, you know, in Squid Game.
Spoiler alerts.
He wasn't as relentless, you know. I mean, neither of the guys that made it to the finals were really relentless. So does it only work up to a certain point, you know? Mason, I've given you some time to think about it. How are you winning $4.5 million?
I'm cheating.
You're cheating.
I am cheating every possible way I can.
I mean, they basically fight to the death in the final challenge.
Right. Yeah. So, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense if you actually step back and look at the way that, like, the Squid Game, like the actual game itself, is played. It doesn't make sense why that had to happen the way it did. See, I'm looking at characters from the show. And trying to, if you have to make this video, you got to be like, I'm going to be like this character from the show, right? I think maybe that's probably what they're looking for. They've got to have their personalities. This is a TV show after all. And that's what I'm, if you go with the guy that cheated all the time, he died pretty quickly.
I'm going down swinging.
If you got the guy that used the team of goons to back himself up, he made it pretty far. But those goons were pretty weak, so they eventually let him down. If you look at the guys that operated as a team, they had to deal with the heartbreak of losing their teammates because they had to actually die. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen in real life. So I'm trying to figure out.
You say that. I don't know, man.
Y'all are so
Netflix is going to make you sign up for this, and you're going to think, oh, this is all great. We're all competing for $400. And the first bullet's going to come through there, and you're going to go, what the? That's the TV. That's the drama.
I mean, we're going to play red light, green light. The first person that doesn't stop moving drops. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And you're
what have I done?
And you're going to be like, let's vote to end the game. Well, we all need to vote to end the game.
Well, that brings me to another point. You said only one person walks away with the money. And that doesn't necessarily have to happen. Would in the end, you split the pot with people? Obviously, you don't have the threat of death like the people in the show do. But would you split the pot? I mean, $4.5 million is a ludicrous amount of money. So if it came down to you and one other person, you got to split that.
Yes.
It's $2.5 million.
Sure.
You split it?
I'm
they lost. That person lost.
Wilson, I already beat him. I can taste the $4.5 million. They already lost. They're done.
I mean, yeah, if we can shake hands on $2.5 million, of course. Let's do it.
All right.
Why not? I mean, it's more.
It depends on what the last game is.
But you don't know.
Squid Game.
No, it's $4 million.
No, I'm taking it. I don't care. I'm taking it. Let's go. I will beat you in the last game.
But if you lose, you get nothing.
Okay.
And you just took 4 weeks off of work, and you have to go back to work and tell them you lost.
Wait, so hold on. I'm not dying? I'm not dying in it?
Oh. No, this is a legit thing that Netflix is doing.
About the Netflix one. I thought you talked about, like, we're actually dying in this.
No.
Okay, I might have to split.
They're making a reality show.
Yeah, it's a reality show.
Yeah, yeah. If I came back, like, when my parents is looking at me and I literally lost because I did not do a deal, they would kill me. So, you know, I have to come back.
Imagine that situation.
I have to split. I can't do that.
That is televised globally. That somebody offered you $2.5 million to not play one more game. You turned it down and lose. You have to face the world with that.
Yeah. Quite literally, my parents would kill me. I thought you meant like I died, so they wouldn't have to live with that shame. God. No, I'm not doing that.
No, me and Nathan both got to sign up for this thing now. I need some of that naivety with me.
Well, here's another thought, though. Mr. Beast did his a while back.
He did.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he, at one point, instead of that bonus game, he offered people $2,000 just to walk out. Would you walk out if you made it somewhat
far? $2,000's not enough.
No.
But if it was, it wouldn't even have to be $2,000. If it was just a comparatively low amount of money, would you still be willing to walk out?
No.
It's got to be more than my yearly salary.
Yeah, it's got to be significantly more than my yearly salary. Like, I'm here. Like I said, I just took 4 weeks off of work. I got to come back with something that makes them know that this was worth my time, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be life-changing money when you're giving up. I get that. Like, you're giving up when you're taking that money. But I'm not $2,000. Like, come on, Mr. Beast. $2,000?
Who is Mr. Beast?
I mean, they also got $2,000. They also got $2,000 just to be there.
$2,000 just to be there?
Yeah, so
that man's too generous.
If they took the $2,000, they would get $4,000. Because everybody got $2,000 just to show.
Wow.
Like the entry level UFC contract. Just table scraps.
Yeah, no.
That's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if there's like 10 of us and we're all coming down to it, what's that for? You know, you got to make it to where what you're walking away with, like, okay, I can split that $4.5 million 10 ways and we can all probably play pretty nicely for a couple of years. Yeah. But like, no, $2,000, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful to competition.
Which they played for what? He had 250 players, Mr. Beast did, right? So they were playing, yes, $250 million. Yeah. Yeah, so I, where the hell does a YouTuber get $250 million? and the ability to just hand out $2,000 to everybody?
You got to put your children on YouTube. You got to get them for on real. It right now.
For real.
Will Miller and his 8 kids are all on it.
During the break, you got to fill me in on the 8 kids joke for Will Miller. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll get filled in on that joke, and we'll talk with Joey Blackwell next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
It's not a joke.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very hot afternoon, partly to mostly sunny with only a small chance of a thunderstorm through the evening hours. The high today, 98. The low tonight, 76. Hot again tomorrow, lots of sunshine. The chance of a shower stays small. The high also 98. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back into Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Joe Gaither right there. Some kick-ass shades on his face. Got Mason Woods, Will, Cade, Nathan all behind the glass. And now we're going to go out to the phone lines and welcome in our good friend Joey Blackwell, the beat writer for Bama Central, the Sports Illustrated affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide Sports at Blackwell Sports on the Twitter account. Joey, it has been entirely way too long. How are you doing, my friend? Somebody's going to have to... Oh, yeah. Oh, you're already there. Sorry, I cut you off. How you doing? Oh,
good. Jacob, how about you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I don't know if you're hanging around the radio during that first segment, but we were joking earlier about hodgepodge. I spent the first segment talking about the Squid Game Challenge, the reality TV series that is coming to Netflix, somewhat considering filling out the application form. And I want to know, Joey, I know you watched Squid Game, right? You're not going to let me down on this. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would you approach such a game? Like, obviously, you know, I mean this one. I don't mean like a real life Squid Game where you know, like your life is actually on the line. But how would you approach this one? Is there some influence from the show that makes you feel like this is the way to play the game?
Well, you know, since there's, you know, there's not going to be an opportunity for me to get shivved in my sleep.
Are you sure?
Netflix revealed, you know, after I joined, which, let's be honest, that could be a thing. You know, I would probably try to play a team game because there are a pretty good amount of games leading up. Obviously, the final, you know, is a solo game, but there's a pretty good amount of those games that are team oriented. So I'd try to probably form a pretty strong team early on to try to get through. That being said, like, you know, in the real, you know, T TV show, that's kind of a dangerous thing because obviously you form factions and that's how you end up getting people trying to kill each other. But, you know, in a game where your life isn't at stake, I think it'd be a pretty solid option to try to form relationships early on to at least try to, you know, help your odds of getting to the end. That'd probably be my strategy, but at the same time, you know, it's every man for himself, so you don't want to get too attached. Otherwise, that's going to backfire real quick.
With that being said, Joey, we're going to set this up for give you some time to think because Jacob's got other questions for you. But you got to take one basketball player, one football player, one baseball player, a softball player, and a Bama beat writer, and a Bama beat writer, a team of five. And come up with your best Squid Games team. Alabama athletes, and a Bama beat writer.
Quick question for clarification. Can they be recent alumni or do they have to be current players?
Jacob?
Let's give it to current players. I think that makes it more difficult.
All right, sounds good.
So with that in mind, would you be willing to split the pot at the end of the game? Would you shake hands with somebody and say, I'm turning down $4.5 million. I'll instead take $2.5 million or $1 million, however it splits at the end. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the monetary value, but if it's split right down the middle, I mean, absolutely. I'd take that two and a half, but it also depends on who my opponent is. If it's somebody that I know I'm going to lose to, then yeah, I take that $2.5 million. But if it's somebody that I'm very confident, you know, if it's like a 95-year-old woman, then it's like, okay,
for those 95-year-old women. Yeah,
that's the danger in it, right? spoiler alert for the show, you know. No, I mean, we were joking about that with one of our interns. You imagine getting to that point, being offered the handshake, just put the money, you turn it down, and you lose. I mean, it couldn't be a worse fate in life.
If they're like, oh, well, you can opt out, but you only get like, you know, $2,000, then it's like, oh, heck no, I'm not taking that offer. But, you know, if it's life changing money, anything over $20,000, then it's like, okay, I'm seriously going to sit back and really think about that, you know.
Joey, during the Gary Harris show, we were treated with looking at the food menu of the 2022 College World Series.
Nobody.
And I am starving. I'm starving at this point. I got to go with the O-Dog, the stacked with queso, grilled steak, steak sauce, jalapeno popper dog, laced with cream cheese, jalapeno jam, bacon bits, fried jalapeno. Man, it's insane. Like, there's gourmet hot dogs, and then there's this thing.
Yeah.
I know you've seen the menu. What are you eating at the College World Series this year?
Well, first things first, I mean, that Grand Slammer looks fantastic. Mm. You know, the Italian beef sandwich that's 14 inches long, like, come on, give me that all day. But, man, those chicken and waffle fries also look fantastic. I mean, those things are, I think they have, like, a spicy, like, honey aioli on them. Oh, my gosh. But there's the chicken parm sandwich. There's the chicken and a pickle sandwich. There's just so many good options. Now my mouth's watering, and I'm going to probably text Coach Bo after this and be like, hey, go get to Omaha next year.
Well, Joey, I hypothesized in the Gary Harris show, and you're the number one beat writer for Bama baseball, so you can confirm or deny. I hypothesized that Coach Bo and the Alabama baseball team are so health conscious they knew the menu, what it was going to be, and they opted out of the regional, but they were invited to the regional, and they said no, because we're going to win and we're going to get to Omaha, and that's going to create a problem for all of our diets.
I mean, it's the opposite of what I'd do. I'd be hanging out. I'll walk. That'd be my motivation to go.
Now that baseball's over for Alabama and you look and you see the field for Omaha, you've got six SEC squads in the College World Series. What are you seeing? And like, you know, a lot of people are realizing, oh, Alabama hung in there with Texas, swept Ole Miss, beat A&M in a series, beat Arkansas in a series. You got a bunch of SEC squads that Alabama's really hung in there with. What do you make about the finals? Are you going to pay attention to it, or are you just like, oh, unplugged from baseball? And then just kind of your thoughts on the World Series.
You know, I was unplugged for the first couple rounds. I mean, I kept tabs on it, but I didn't actually watch it. I typically do that every year. Yeah. I need to take a break after the season. You know, Alabama season's over, but I will be watching, you know, the finals. And I do think, you know, I really like the SEC field. I mean, it is kind of heartbreaking when you look at it from an Alabama perspective. I mean, three of these four teams are teams that you bested this season. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the Auburn game was only two games because that third game got canceled with weather, so we'll never know if Alabama would win a game there. But, you know, it is kind of, you know, discouraging to see, well, Alabama swept Ole Miss on the road this year. They beat Arkansas three out of four games. A&M, they beat 2-1 back in the day, you know, this year. So, but I really like these teams. I think Ole Miss, you know, really kind of turned things around, as did Arkansas. You know, Arkansas was really on a quite a losing bit there in the SEC tournament. And Ole Miss, of course, got knocked out, I believe, their first game. But they've both made it this far. Auburn, I've been saying all year that Auburn was a very underrated team. And they've proven me right and proven a lot of others right by getting as far as they have. So, you know, it's going to be a really good series. You really do have a very talented field. And, you know, one thing that I've been kind of pointing out is that, you know, you have both Texas and Oklahoma left. So, you know, both those two teams played for the Women's College World Series. And now you have these two teams left here in the College World Series. And it just shows how much more those two programs are adding to the Southeastern Conference outside of football. You know, it's a lot more than just football teams that are joining the conference in a couple of years here.
And with that in mind, I mean, we just got the Big 12 challenge matchup, Alabama-Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And the news, I think, yesterday, Alabama-Texas football game, that's been sold out. So everybody that's going to go to that's going to have to buy resale. I mean, with the notion, too, that happened earlier, I think late last week, actually, with the Cincinnati's, UCF, BYU, Houston, they're all slated to join the Big 12 early next year. Do you kind of, like, when you look at Oklahoma and Texas, if you're them, are you, you know, just going to bite the bullet and say, screw it, we'll pay a little bit more money to leave early instead of sticking around in this conference that's going to be bloated with mediocre teams and go ahead and join this SEC that we're dedicated to joining in the future, but we're already seeing a whole lot of at the moment in every single sport. What do you do if you're Oklahoma and Texas in that situation?
I think honestly, biting the bullet would make sense just because that conference is going to be overloaded once these other schools join. But at the same time, you know, Texas does have these contracts with the Longhorn Network that are really preventing them from leaving. And I think that's really what's been the big holdup there. But at the same time, I mean, if you can pay the money to get out, I mean, no doubt you're going to see a dramatic uptick in funding, just because when we all know how the TV contracts work, you're going to get that money right back when you join the SEC, just because, of course, you have the SEC network and the ESPN rights deals and all that revenue that's split evenly among the schools at the end of the year, including, you know, bowl money and stuff like that. So but at the same time, these are two programs that aren't strapped for cash. You know, these are two teams that are obviously juggernaut programs. They're joining the SEC for a reason, and that's because they built quite, you know, impressive resumes of the history of their athletics programs. So, but at the end of the day, I mean, if you're having all those teams join the Big 12, you might as well get out while they're getting good, and then, you know, take a couple of years to rebuild your program in the SEC. It might take a little bit, but I mean, I think that's the best option for both those schools.
And with the SEC, I mean, a conversation that came out of the spring meetings was about the scheduling, and it not necessarily so much about Texas and Oklahoma joining in the future, but just the overall noise that has persisted for a long time that 9 games in the conference schedule would be good for the conference in a lot of people's minds, especially mine as well. Some of us look at 2020 and say, well, hey, why not 10 games? And you know, getting back to a schedule that makes, or not getting back to, but beginning with a schedule that makes a tad bit more sense from a competitive standpoint and also from an entertainment standpoint. You know, when Texas and Oklahoma get here, there's going to be a big entertainment factor just because of the new matchups. But even still, like the idea of being able to play the entire SEC within a 4-year period, home and away, the idea of, you know, the top two teams in the conference playing in Atlanta rather than the top team from the East and the West, or whatever pod system may exist when Texas and Oklahoma get here. What's kind of your ideal scenario for the future of SEC scheduling, where, you know, hopefully we get better competition and better entertainment value all wrapped in one.
You know, I really like the I really like the 9-game schedule, and you know, Sankey himself has said that most of the programs are leaning towards that. I think, you know, a 9-game schedule with, you know, revolving teams outside of the three, you know, rivals, but I really like that model. Of course, that makes it difficult for some teams to pick those same three teams you play every year. I mean, for Alabama, you know, you obviously have Auburn and Tennessee. Those two are set in stone. And then you probably pick LSU there, but it could be Texas A&M. You know, it could be a team like that. It could be, you know, a team like Georgia, you know, if you flip it to a, you know, one division model, kind of like the ACC has set up. But I think the one division model is going to be very interesting because, you know, year in and year out, we see teams that are all fighting for, you know, the top spot in both the East and the West. And so if you flip it to a 16-team one division, you're going to have, you know, a ton of teams fighting for those top two spots. And that brings into, you know, the conversation that, you know, somebody fielded the question to Sankey at SEC Media Days about potentially having, you know, like a 4-team SEC, you know, championship playoff, you know, kind of a mini playoff where you'd have the top 4 teams out of the 16. So, you know, I personally would be a huge fan of that. I don't really understand how that would work in terms of scheduling, because obviously if you do that, you're forfeiting a week of rest for, you know, a bowl game or for the college football playoff. So, and extending the season. So I'm not really sure how that could work out. I think you'd have to have a lot of conferences come together and agree to do their own playoff in order for that to work. But no doubt that would be very, very exciting football. And you'd also more than likely have rematches in those, you know, first playoff games for that SEC playoff. So that'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, all just, you know, talking like way in the future, but I think that would be very exciting.
I think that would be interesting if that was basically a part of the playoffs system. You know, you're the top two teams in your conference, you play for the conference title, and you win that conference title, you go on to what would be, you know, the national playoff, basically. You know, so it kind of regionalizes things, keeps the sport in its roots. It's a chaotic idea, don't get me wrong. It would take a lot of work, but it does have some feet. It does sound somewhat interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, what you could do also, I mean, this, you know, obviously these are all pure hypotheticals we're talking here, but you could have those, you know, those five Power Five, you know, championship teams receive automatic bids, just like they do in almost every other sport. And then you have either, you know, three at-large teams, or maybe, you know, you could bump that number up to 7 for a 12 team, so you have 7 at-large bids. You might have teams that lost their championship game that are just really good. They get put in. Obviously, you could expand it and have more conferences outside of the Power Five. That could have teams receive automatic bids, but it really sets it up for a very, very interesting, you know, playoff. A lot more than, I mean, I know I've you know, sung the praises of the college football playoff over the past few years here, but you know, you can't deny that if you do increase the field, there's a lot more opportunity for a lot of exciting college football and more potentials for upset.
Yeah, and it might be a way to have middle ground, because I've heard Joe say it before too, is that your conference championship is a playoff game. So if you really kind of set it up to where it is. Sure, there'll be some Alabama Georgia fans, you know, that play in that SEC championship and then they don't make the technical playoff. But if you make those championship games a part of the playoff, it's not a bad idea. I kind of like that a lot.
Double your field that way, almost.
Yeah, practically. You know, and it sounds just a tad bit more fair. It would, but again, it would require structure on the NCAA completely to get
every
conference.
You have a lot of people crying about, what about the 3-loss Florida team if they beat and upset Alabama, you know, in that scenario. What if they do? They do.
That's the old football. That's the old one where we cared about, you know, quality of wins rather than just doing your schedule and scheduling a good schedule in advance.
But here's the argument towards what we know, what Joe just said also, is that, you know, stuff like that happens in conference tournaments every year. I mean, look at baseball.
Yeah.
Look at baseball. You had teams, you know, obviously every conference champion gets an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. You have teams that, you know, only win 18 games in the regular season that are just awful, that turn it on for their conference tournament and make it, even though they're much more deserving teams, you know, air quotes, deserving teams that make it. So that argument can be, you know, moved over to everything. It's just that college football fans just have a way of blowing things out of proportion.
Oh, they do. They do, and you could point to one example with your favorite NFL team, Joey, when the Seattle Seahawks went 7-9, and then Beastquake happened, right? And they beat the New Orleans Saints. Nobody thought it would happen. They hosted a playoff game. Sure, they lost the next week, but I mean, that's what the playoffs are, though. Like, you never, you absolutely never know what's going to happen. Getting back to Texas, just for one quick thing, the fact that game was sold out very impressive. I don't know what the sellout rates are for Texas, but nonetheless, Alabama coming to town, that is something special. With in regards to the game itself, though, I know we're several months out, but I mean, I really kind of step back and start to think about it. Quinn Ewers at quarterback, Bijan Robinson. I keep saying Alabama's schedule is baby butt soft, and it is. But that first trip out to Texas, come on, are some of us maybe overlooking that one just a little bit more competition there with the Longhorns than we expect?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are looking past it. You know, they're thinking of Texas as a Big 12 team and not Texas as Texas. You know, Texas has this obviously the first rematch since that, you know, that national championship game back in, I believe it was January 2010. And I think they're going to bring everything they have, not to mention you have Steve Sarkisian.
Is Colt McCoy going to play?
No, he's still hurt. He won't be able to play. But, you know, you have Bijan Robinson, like you said. You also have, you know, you have Jaleel Billingsley there at tight end, who's obviously going to have a chip on his shoulder there. You're going to have a lot of really talented players for Texas. And, you know, I still lean towards Alabama winning this game, but at the same time, this is a hostile road environment in Texas, and they have a really good, passionate fan base. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really excited for that 11 a.m. kick. I know a lot of people don't like 11 a.m. kickoffs. You know, it is a little bit disappointing that it's going to be on Fox instead of an ESPN network.
That's perfect for us, though.
But at the same time, yeah, you know, you get there the night before, you get up early, you go to the game, and then you have an entire afternoon evening to spend in Austin, which is a great city. So I'm really looking forward to it. I know a lot of Alabama fans are like, ugh, 11 a.m., but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Joey, are you ready to answer Joe's wild question of who your Squid Game team
is? And I got one more for him, too.
Go for it.
No, I've been thinking about it, and it's like I want to pick, obviously, the best of the best, but at the same time, if I pick the best of the best, then I'm going to be kicked out real early when it comes But my knee-jerk reaction for football was Will Anderson, but I'm like, well, Will Anderson would eat me, like literally eat me. So I don't know if I want him, but you know, I will pick him. Softball, I pick Montana Fouts, obviously enough. She's a grinder. She's a go-getter. For baseball, I'd probably pick Garrett McMillan. We don't know if he's going to still be on the team after the draft, but as of right now, he is. But he's a dog. He has got that mentality. Basketball, I'd probably go Charles Bediako, Angry Chuck. You know, I think he's got a lot of strength to him. Let's see, that's four. Did I forget anybody?
No, yeah, you got to get a beat rider. Got to get me a beat rider.
Oh, beat. I want to say Michael Castagrande, but he's a little too cunning. He's a little scary. I'd probably go Michael Castagrande or maybe Charlie Potto. It'd be close between the two of them. Oh.
Charlie would be dangerous.
Charlie'd be scrappy. Like, do not underestimate Charlie Potter.
Like, Michael will tell you he's going to beat you and do it.
No, he won't.
Charlie will be quiet, though. You'll never see Charlie coming, and he'll wipe out the whole field.
Like, oh, this is Charlie. You know, Charlie's a great friend of mine, and he's been just a knife in your back all of a sudden.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
No, I love Charlie, but I think he'd be a great addition. So that's my five, but I'd probably lose very quickly after all that.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time getting past Will Anderson in that final.
I'm just, oh, here's my team, and then walk into the room, and it's just Will Anderson standing over a bunch of corpses.
All right, one more for you. We're playing Texas, week number two. Oh, no. So are you going Quinn Ewers and his, was he Rolls Royce? Was that Quinn Ewers and his, let's see,
Aston Martin?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Yeah, he's Aston Martin. Quinn Ewers and his Aston Martin or Bijan Robinson and his Lamborghini?
Well, I got to go Aston Martin. I got to go. Aston Martin's a classic, what James Bond drove. If we're talking straight racing, I'm going to go Lamborghini.
Yeah, just what you drive, yeah.
Well, what I drive personally, I take the Aston Martin every day of the week. It's James Bond's car. It's classic. It's British. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
You know, when I look at Quinn Ewers, the last thing I think about is James Bond.
That's a very fair point. I'm talking about what I'd drive.
I know, but like,
I mean, I probably wouldn't even fit in either of those cars, so we could put that right out the window. But I definitely slow down that miles per hour.
So even if Alabama wins week number two, both the Texas Stars will be driving away in style.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're going to be a loser, look good doing it.
If they lose, they'll still have their cards.
Joey, one last silly off-the-wall hodgepodge question for you.
Can you tell it's June? Can you tell it's June?
It is so June. There needs to be...
This is going
to
be my show in August. I don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever, you know, the Justin Timberlakes, it's going to be May. We need to find one for June because we need to be more prepared for June. The latest episode of Kenobi, episode 5, was last night. And I don't want to get into any spoiler territory because this is so recent, unlike Squid Games, which Mason should have just watched if he didn't want to have it spoiled. Darth Vader last night, though, absolutely insane. One of the best scenes of Darth Vader ever. So the question I have for you is, which Darth Vader scene was better, Rogue One or Episode 5 of Kenobi?
Ooh. Without getting into spoiler territory, I think the scene in Rogue One was a little bit more impactful because, you know, he'd been kind of quiet the whole movie and then all of a sudden just showed up and it turned into a full-blown horror movie. I got to go Rogue One just because I know it's not really nostalgia because that wasn't too long ago. But, you know, what I referred to as Darth Vader yesterday was it was video game Darth Vader. You know, it's the Darth Vader you see, you know, in Force Unleashed. And you also see kind of that remnant in what's the most recent game?
Oh, Jedi Fallen Order, yeah.
Yeah, Jedi Fallen Order. It was that version of Darth Vader, which I love. But, you know, I really got to go Rogue One. But that's not taking away from Kenobi's episode yesterday. I was definitely giddy, and my wife was like, I'm married such a nerd. it was a lot of fun. Highly recommend anybody go watch last night's episode if you haven't seen it yet.
How many awards did you pick up last week, by the way? We haven't even congratulated. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations on all of the hardware, my man.
I picked up 4 awards.
Wow.
From Sunday. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. I have 2 of them came with plaques and 3rd back in France. Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, 6 awards in 2 years on the beat. I'm pretty excited about it.
So. Hey, when I say he's the best pound for pound writer in Tuscaloosa on the beat, I'm not joking around. I'm not just paying homage to my friend. Like, seriously, Joey, we really appreciate you. Congratulations again for that. Had a lot of fun today talking some off the wall stuff. Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk with you next week.
Absolutely, looking forward to y'all's Squid Game podcast. I have a chance.
Hey, you'll see me on a Netflix screen coming soon.
I'll be questioning your strategy, but I will fuck.
Appreciate it, Joey.
Bye, guys. Thank y'all.
At Blackwell Sports on the Twitter account, beat writer for Bama Central, BamaCentral.com, the Sports Illustrated affiliate of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll take a break, come back, continue the conversation, 205-342-9904. How would you play Squid Game? Give me your answer. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The best new analysis in T-Town.
Hey, I got a stat for you.
Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues on Tide 100.9.
Is that Creator again? They have 2 new ones out there? Look at them. Old guys rocking out. Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you. Joe Gaither, Mason Woods, interns Will, Cade, and Nathan all behind the glass helping us out today. Joe, I'm going to spin that question that you gave Joey back on you. What's your Squid Game? Beat writer is up to you, but what's your Squid Game team from the University of Alabama Athletic Center?
Okay. Oh, gosh. Let me... Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Roll Tide. Let's see. Football roster. Because I'm not taking Will Anderson. I'm sorry.
There's no way I'm taking Will Anderson.
No. That is a joke, Joey. That he will break you. He'll just look at you and break you. Well, give me one of these. Chase Allen, place kicker, junior. Well, I'll take you. Give me somebody like Brett Belin, wide receiver, redshirt senior. Give me no offensive lineman. Sorry, Brockenmeyer's, you're out. Let's see who else who might I consider. My first thought was Nealon Hibbett, the long snapper. But even Nealon Hibbett might be too athletic for me at 6'2", 245. I think who's like the token walk on that? Jack Martin, 6'2", 207. I don't know. That's a big boy.
Jack can probably throw you around.
Yeah. Is there anybody? Now, Will Reichert's skinny boy, 6'1", 190. He could be, okay. I mean, if they're an Alabama football player, they're an athlete.
Right. So, true. Like, yeah. Don't want to disrespect Will Reichert.
They're an absolute athlete. No, and quality. My guy, Reed Schuback, place kicker, 6'1", 185, sophomore from California. That's not going to be my. That'll be my my football guy. Let's see. Basketball roster. Open new tab. Baseball roster. Open new tab. Softball. Softball. All those girls would beat my tail. Oh, my gosh. All those girls. Like, and that's not being said any disrespect. They're incredible athletes. Let's see. Softball. We'll go with the local girl, MK Gidley, Hillcrest High School. You know, we'll give her a chance to be on the team.
There you go.
We saw her a lot of times pinch running this past season. She's got the speed. Baseball. These baseball guys are big too. They're all. I'm not taking Dominic Tamez. He'll beat my face in as a catcher. they got to be somebody that I could possibly. Okay, I'll take another local boy. I'll take Hunter Sudi. I watched him play football at ACA. He was a good little athlete, but 5'11", 190. That's in my fighting weight. Let's see. And basketball. I'm taking. Oh man, I'm taking none of these guys. They're all so tall. Like I'll have no ability to hang with them. Jaden Quinterly, he's already gone, right? Can I take Antoine Petway because he's a little on the older side? I mean, he's still an athlete. He's on the no. Who, Charlie Henry? I'll take assistant coach Charlie Henry, defensive specialist.
I think what I just learned. You remember when it used to be the question was, would you rather face one Derrick Henry sized cat or 100 cat sized Derrick Henrys? I think I just got the answer for what you would answer it, and it's 100 cat sized Derrick Henry.
Yeah, throw them all against the wall, catch and throw, kick.
That's all the time we got for today. The Jay Barker Show is coming up next. Big thanks to everybody for helping out today. It was a lot of fun. Big thanks to Joey Blackwell as well. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very hot afternoon, partly to mostly sunny with only a small chance of a thunderstorm through the evening hours. The high today, 98. The low tonight, 76. Hot again tomorrow, lots of sunshine. The chance of a shower stays small. The high also, 98. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Off the Edge on Tide 100.9. Thank you for listening to Off the Edge. Join us every weekday from 11 a.m. to noon on Tide 100.9
and the Tide 100.9 app.
Do it now. Live.